Hey, my friends. Hope you guys are having a decent day today. Welcome to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Very strange day. Very strange turn of events yesterday. The fact on top of that, today's 9/11, 24th anniversary, ironically enough.
And it's always about the numbers.
My condolences to Charlie and his family and his kids. Everybody had to witness that yesterday.
Our deepest condolences to the family, to his fans.
To everybody.
Everybody.
I mean,
the dark day in America.
It really is. You know, and somebody sent me a text last night, and they said the tides have basically changed completely in the United States now because we're no longer talking about people going after people for politics or senators or Congress or presidents or people that have done certain things. We're talking about going after conservative podcast hosts. We're talking about going after people that are in alt media. They're talking about the truth, that are bringing topics up that nobody wants to talk about. And now we're sitting here saying, well, I guess it's just, you know, normalized now. People get assassinated in broad daylight in front of their women, in front of their wife and shit kids. And, yeah, strange events yesterday, my friends. And I think,
you know, there's a lot of theories out there. One person says that, you know, a guy was arrested immediately. It wasn't the guy who did it. He probably was somebody who had pulled a weapon. It was an older man. He probably pulled a pistol out of his belt because he heard of a gunshot and saw Charlie drop, probably there to protect Charlie. And, you know, this was a hit. This is a 200-yard shot. It's a headshot, 308 caliber. And it was aimed center head. And then if he had bullet drop, it hit the neck. They were avoiding the plates.
Yeah. I don't want to get into too much of the graphics. Everybody saw the video today. Just out of respect to his family. This whole thing, to me, is very disturbing, to say the least. And the fact, too, that I've had so many people send me links of Twitter and Instagram of people that are literally on social media jumping up and down, celebrating, shooting off party poppers, and talking about how happy they are that he was assassinated in front of everybody, how gleeful they are, and they're squealing with glee. That's a disturbing place for America to be. When you got people that are blatantly, openly blasting out their social media, talking about how excited they are that somebody was assassinated, and joking about it. And you got to think how the direction of the United States is starting to go here as far as how divided we're starting to become.
Well, what happened, and what this is cultural Marxism.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the communists against the freedom fighters. I mean, we become the freedom fighters. You know, alt media's become the freedom fighters because the Marxist media, they're no longer relevant.
No.
So when you realize that, you start to understand that, you know, Charlie was having people like Candace Owens on his show.
Yeah.
And he was basically, you know, promoting her agenda. She's promoting his agenda. He was super high in political theater. He was a Republican spokesperson at the convention. And he was an up-and-coming, probably potential candidate for the United States Senate, Congress, or the presidency of the United States. And whoever killed him was unbelievably anti-Charlie and what he was saying. And, you know, it's interesting to me because there's a really good article here from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. And, you know, it's pro-Israel, which I'm reading this right now. And it says, Charlie Kirk, conservative activist who considered himself a defender of the Jews in Israel, is dead at age 31. Now, this is an interesting thing here on this because Charlie Kirk frequently characterized himself as a defender of the Jews in Israel, even as he faced criticism from across the spectrum over his comments about Jews and the Anti-Defamation League and others over his role in the mainstreaming of the far right. Charlie's been a shining light in these troubled times for the American Jewish community, and we are deeply saddened for his passing. Morgan Klein, CEO of the Zionist Organization of America, said Kirk had recently accepted an invitation to speak at the group's national gala this year. Charlie Kirk was a great man. Among the first leaders to send their prayers and reports that Charlie had been shot was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It literally hit the news in Israel within seconds after the shooting. Just thought I'd mention that. After visiting Israel in May of 2018 for a ribbon-cutting ceremony, U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, and again in 2019, Kirk describes his visits to the country as eye-opening. And, you know, it's interesting. But then he said something different. And then he started going on a different tact. And he started bringing Candace Owens on. And he really got the attention of Benjamin Netanyahu when he did this. Kirk at times drew criticism for veering into anti-Semitism as he discussed matters related to Israel and other topics. on October the 2023, just days after Hamas' October the 7th attack on Israel, Kirk drew controversy after he derided Jewish philanthropy to American universities for subsidizing your own demise by supporting institutions that breed anti-Semites and endorse genocidal killers. He went on to say, weeks later, on the Charlie Kirk Show, Charlie said that Jewish people control not just the colleges, it's the nonprofits, it's the movies, it's Hollywood, it's all of it. So, you know, I've told you for years, there's a lot of research that says that John F. Kennedy was killed by Mossad. We know that Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad. We know that Gisele is Mossad. We know that her father, Maxwell, was Mossad. We know that basically Gisele has said that, you know, that Epstein is still alive, probably in a non-extradition country, probably in Israel, probably having undergone, you know, basically surgery, you know, cosmetic surgery. And so you can't identify him any longer. But the reality is a lot of that is just all speculation on everybody's part to believe that. The sad part about all of this stuff, there is no speculation here. Charlie Kirk is dead.
Yeah.
He was killed by an assassin from 200 yards away that was a highly trained operative. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, right after he was shot, and this is from the Daily Mail, this is mind-boggling. You know, he basically ended up, somebody hopped on an airplane, FBI under pressure over open airport 5 miles from Charlie Kirk's assassination hit as private jet vanishes after shooting. The FBI is facing questions over an airport that was left open after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, with the speculation of bringing a jet that could be linked to his murder. Despite a large-scale manhunt, nobody could find him, and this is based in this area surrounding the airport. The regional airport deals with domestic flights and is just a 10-minute drive from Utah Valley Airport. 10 minutes, Austin.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, speculation on social media has pointed to a private jet that left the airport shortly after the single shot killed him. Flight tracking data shows the jet left the airport shortly after 2 p.m. and headed south towards the Arizona border before it disappeared from radars, which means it turned off its tracker. Now let me know. Then reappeared on radars, returned to Provo like 1 hour after leaving the airport. The jet was owned by owner of the Utah City of Lee, according to FFA data seen on Daily Mail. So let me explain something to you about trackers. These are called transponders. You know, when you operate within a certain range of certain airports, you have to have a transponder. And a few years ago, they made it mandatory that a transponder be on all aircraft. The reason for that, it puts out a flight signal of where you are so people don't run into you.
Yeah.
Right? The transponders now, but here's the problem. If you fly over 18,000 feet on one of these planes, you have to file a flight plan with the FAA.
Yeah.
This flight was less than an hour. And if you don't file a flight plan, you can file VFR, which means there is no flight plan. So in other words, if you take off in a jet from an airport 10 minutes away from the shooting, 15 minutes afterwards, now I'm going to stop for 1 second. People don't understand. It's called a pre-flight check. It has to happen on flights. Now, have you seen me do it?
Yeah, I was pulled up already.
Have you ever seen me get a plane out in 10 minutes?
Absolutely not. It's 30 minutes.
30 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to check the fuel. You got to check the filters. You've got to check everything before you crank this plane up. In other words, your plane, the only way you're getting it out of there within minutes after you get to the airport, if somebody has done a pre-flight check on you, the engines are spooled up, and it's ready to take off.
It's hot.
And the jet's hot.
Yeah.
In other words, the jet would be sitting there for at least half an hour, ready to go, with the engines running,
yeah,
both engines running, with the door open for you to jump on it to take off this fast.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a pilot. You can't just get on a plane and fly it. Now, you probably could if you didn't do a pre-flight test on anything, but you still got to start the engines.
Yeah.
You still have to take it out of the hangar. You still have to hook it up to a dolly. If you don't have it on sitting on the runway.
It's interesting. Now, the FBI said that they found a rifle out in the woods, apparently, close to the university. 308 bolt action.
Yeah.
They just came upon it.
Well, the bolt actions are extremely accurate.
Well, yeah. That's what they always train.
That means that's a one-shot, one kill.
It's
not semi-auto. It's one-shot, one kill.
One-shot and crack the bolt. The thing about this, though, you know, I think the part that everybody has to really take a step back and look at this and understand that they're breeding, as far as the leftists, they're trying to breed this to start happening. The whole point of this was, A, to get him out of the picture. Clearly, he had a lot of pull. There's no question about it. He's probably, like you say, he's probably going to run for politics next, probably run for president in a couple of years. And they wanted him off the platform because he had such a voice. This is what we're all supposed to have.
Very articulate.
Yeah, this is what we're all supposed to have, though. We're all supposed to have our voice. We're all supposed to talk about the truth. We're supposed to talk about what's going on. This is why we've done with this show. And the fact that you have so many people, I mean, thousands and thousands of people flooded social media to post all their exciting videos and exciting memes about how stoked they are that he was executed in front of everybody. The disturbing part about this is this is not isolated anymore. It's becoming a common trend.
Look at the population who's listening to him talk. What are they? They're all white people.
Yeah.
Now, if that doesn't bother you, Austin, Rich, give me camera four. Look at this.
This is Utah University.
Look at this. Look at the people in the crowd.
Yeah.
I don't see one person who's Hispanic or a person of color or anything there. Anybody.
Maybe one guy up here.
Well, he may be. This guy looks like security here in the front.
That's security right there.
Yeah. And so we're basically, these are his demographics.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest mistake that he made and the people of this organization did is they should have had plexiglass, at least 2 to 3 inches of plexiglass around him.
Yeah.
This is a horrible oversight. Now, I want to hear from Charlie's own words. I've sent you a video this morning,
yeah,
Austin.
Yeah, let me find it real quick.
I want you guys to listen to this video. And this is where he was going. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu is coming now saying that he was a staunch supporter of Israel. He was, you know, all things Israel, and that he was a great friend of Israel's, and that, you know, he was Israel's buddy, and Benjamin Netanyahu had invited him. Isn't this the same Benjamin Netanyahu that randomly attacks other countries just for kicks and giggles? Isn't this the same Benjamin Netanyahu that goes in and machine guns children in hospitals in Gaza? Isn't this the same Benjamin Netanyahu that basically has an entire Catholic church shelled in Gaza? Is this the person who says they're going to turn it into a seaside resort in Gaza? Is it the same Benjamin Netanyahu who then attacks Qatar the other day without any provocation whatsoever? Isn't this the same Benjamin Netanyahu who does all of this stuff all the time? And now we're supposed to believe what he says is going to be true, that Charlie Kirk was a great friend of Israel? I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that this is actually something that, you know, we're
the
doing.
The audio's not popping up on this.
That's all right. I'll do it on my side. I'll let you hear over here.
Yeah.
But the sad part about all of this stuff is when you stop and you listen to it, you kind of wonder, you know, I won't be able to play the video here, but I can do it here.
And, yeah, so you can get audio on. I'm not pulling audio up on my computer.
But, you know, this is when you stop and you think about it for a second, you start to realize, you know, what happened to this? Why is this happening? And, you know, why do people think it's okay?
Well, and what this also done is this is designed to have a domino effect with these groups that are getting hardcore leftists. Because remember, these hardcore Marxists, these leftists, these people, there are a lot of them that are being so indoctrinated with the social media, with the schools. They want this to start perpetuating itself. They want to start seeing copycat shootings of this. That's the entire point. That was the entire premise of yesterday. And the thing is, you got to...
I got it. I got ready to go.
See if you can get the audio
this
on
is,
it.
This is 39
seconds. Hold on a second. You got audio?
I think so. Let's see. If I get it, play.
And Jewish donors, they have a lot of explaining to do, a lot of decoupling to do, because Jewish donors have been the number one funding mechanism of radical, open border, neoliberal, quasi-Marxist policies, cultural institutions, and nonprofits. This is a beast created by secular Jews. And now it's coming for Jews, and they're like, what on earth happened? And it's not just the colleges. It's the nonprofits. It's the movies. It's Hollywood. It's all of it. It's like time for you guys to wake up and say no more. Draw a line in the sand. I don't care if you hate me.
Yeah. Apparently, they hated him.
And Jewish donors, they have a lot
Somebody hated him.
And, you know, and this, and so you're now the question is, do you think Mossad killed Charlie Kirk? Well, I will say it this way. Yes. I do.
It appears it could be that way.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion. I have a right to my opinion. I have a First Amendment right for my opinion. And do I believe that somebody in special ops killed him? Absolutely, yes. Okay, I fired 308s from 200 yards. I fired 308s from 700 yards. You know, you've got a lot of bullet drop, you know, on a 308. I like the 50 caliber better because it doesn't have the drop. But, of course, it's unbelievably loud. Okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is that, you know, at 200 yards, you're going to have a 6 or 8 inch bullet drop on a 308. And if you're shooting for a center headshot and you want to make sure you hit the body or hit the neck, that's how you do it in sniper school. And, you know, and so I know that Mossad has routinely shot children in Gaza from their border wall for sport. I mean, I've reported on this. I mean, you can look it up. I do think. But I'm going to say one more thing. People ask me, "Well, do you think Mossad was involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy?" The answer is yes, I do. Do you think Mossad was involved with Jeffrey Epstein? He was Mossad. Do you think that the Jews are involved as far as in aggregate? No, I do not. I believe, like he just said, these radical leftist Jews that are unbelievably hardcore communists are involved with all of this stuff because the majority of them are Kabbalists, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan, and they worship Ein Sof, their snake god. And they're the ones that are pushing the radical left ideology in the churches and in schools and in Hollywood and all the rest that Charlie Kirk was talking about. The problem with Charlie Kirk is, you know, right after this show, he talks about having Candace Owens on a show. So the problem is, it's like James Traficant found out. When you start doing this, you start talking about this, and you start making yourself nationally known like this, if they can't silence your algorithms, Austin, because you're doing seminars and you're doing speaking at colleges in person, all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, we can't shut him down anymore on the Internet.
You know, you gotta remember this, what I'm trying to explain to everybody. It goes way further than this. This was done as an example, as a template for they want these other groups to start following this. This is the entire purpose why they did it in front of everybody.
They were gleeful.
If they wanted to shut him up, they could have grabbed him in the middle of the night and shut him up. If that was the entire purpose of this, was to stop Charlie from talking about what he's talking about, they could have easily sent a team to his house. I'm not trying to be graphic. They could have easily done that. This was designed to make a spectacle of it.
It was Kennedy assassination.
Exactly. It was designed to make a spectacle in front of the entire world of what happens when you start talking about this, and they're trying to get copycats to start doing the same thing. I was disturbed to my core last night, not just from the video, but how many people were literally posting videos of themselves jumping up and down on their couches, shooting off party poppers, talking about how they were so excited that Charlie Kirk was executed on television. Well, videos of themselves saying this.
Do you not remember right after 9/11 we had the dancing dancing Israelis?
Oh, yeah.
Dancing Israelis, not Arabs.
Oh, yeah.
And then two days later, they're on Israeli TV talking about what they had seen with 9/11.
Here's the part, and this is why I've been so adamant about telling people to be very cautious about the social media with the kids. Here's what they're starting to do with this younger generation. This is how it's starting to work. They run people through essentially a pre-op plan with AI now. They go through and they have a list of determined individuals they can run through of who's the most susceptible and what they think and what they believe and what they watch and what their algorithms are, how big their pupils dilate, on what show they watch, on what screen they watch. And then they can start funneling those individuals into a bigger algorithm and start feeding that algorithm more propaganda, more rhetoric, more violent topics, and push a lot of these individuals. There's a reason why we're watching this big of a divide in the United States. It's not that suddenly something happened overnight. It's been systemic decay for decade after decade after decade. And now with the social media platforms, they can literally control the very narrative that everybody sees right on their phone. They don't have to control the mainstream media anymore. They don't need to. They don't have to. And now to do this on television in front of everybody was to make a point about it, is you don't talk about what he's talking about. If you do, we're going to silence you. And so that means to me, everybody, including me and Dad, we got to get even louder. Obviously, he made a difference. Obviously, he was making a point. Obviously, he was talking about topics that he wasn't supposed to talk about. Find out who you can't criticize. You find out who rules you. What if I don't want to be ruled? What if I want to keep criticizing him? What if we're going to do this every single day on the show? We're going to bring these topics up. We're going to talk about them every single day. Because at the end of the day, it's our responsibility to speak the truth. Because if nobody's going to do it, who's going to do it then? Who's going to do it?
Nobody is.
Nobody's going to do it. Okay. Everybody's going to back down. Everybody's going to be fearful. It's like COVID. Everybody's going to put a little mask on.
Oh, boy, but that was beta test, bud.
Oh, exactly what it was. It was to see how many people are going to comply. How about we don't comply? How about I don't wear a mask? How about I don't stand 6 feet apart from everybody because they want to put the 666 on everything? How about I don't take a COVID RNA gene therapy shot? How about we just keep pushing what the truth is because it's our responsibility? So I encourage all my friends, all of our listeners, the issue is they made a martyr out of him yesterday. They did do that. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, everybody's mad. Everybody's dirt dog pissed off mad now. Did they think this is something that's going to be normalized, and it's not going to be normalized?
Well, you know, when Mossad hit the USS Liberty with 5,000 rounds and hit it with torpedoes and everything else and tried to sink it.
Shelled it.
And then came in there with the doggone helicopter to finish them off, with dropping the doggone troops on the boat. Yeah. And they finally got a message out, it's Israel attacking us. You know, the world was aghast.
Oh, what?
It almost started World War III.
I've read all about it.
And Lyndon Johnson, who was having an affair, that piece of crap, Johnson with a Mossad operative, he basically shut it all down and covered it all up. You need to watch the, you know, Sacrificing Liberty. It's an incredible DVD series. It's like a three-part series that you've got to watch. And, you know, President Kennedy, you know, his basically newspaper speech in which he warned us of a great conspiracy that was upon us that operated through covet means.
Yep.
And that they, before he got out of office, he's going to root it out. This is a couple of months before they killed him.
Yep.
See, he was doing the same thing. And he had told Israel they could not have nuclear weapons, that he would never allow it.
Yep.
But he turned right around and had his head blown off.
And he was going to shut down the Federal Reserve.
Yep.
He was going to nationalize everything and basically start printing sound money backed by silver. Mm-hmm. He can still buy some of them.
He actually printed $5 billion in silver certificates.
Yep. He used to buy them. They're actually worth a lot more money now.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a collector piece.
But you know, so all of this stuff is just an unbelievable.
I encourage everybody right now. This isn't a time to be fearful. This is a time to stand up and be strong. This is a time to support one another. Mm-hmm. This is a time to support the conservative friends and family you have. And these clowns that are running around saying all this stupid stuff and, you know, getting all excited, I can tell you one thing. God is a just God. He will not be mocked. You reap what you sow. I'm just going to put that out there. If you want to get on national social media and talk about how you're excited or somebody got executed on national television, you reap what you sow. The universe is a big ball of energy, and everything comes back around. I've realized that when I was very young. Energy comes back to energy.
Well, and what happens is whatever you speak upon somebody else, you bring back upon
that's
yourself.
Exactly right.
And, you know, and so you got to, that's why we're so careful with imprecatory prayers. And I pray that everybody who gets exposed on this, who finds it, when they find out who did it, the problem is that jet probably, when they turned the transponder off, it landed who knows where. There's no way to track it with the transponder off.
Private airstrip, man.
They could have landed on a private airstrip, which was waiting somebody to take him somewhere else, whoever the operative was.
This was extremely well orchestrated.
You know why I think it's Mossad?
Why?
Because they didn't find the shooter. The shooter didn't kill himself. The shooter didn't have his face blown off.
That's a valid point.
Mossad doesn't kill Mossad.
They always seem to have the patsy lined up.
Well, they don't.
He always gets arrested, or he's committed suicide.
That's right. Look at Lee Harvey Oswald.
This was smooth in and out.
No, it was done.
It was done, gone, never found him. And one shot. Didn't have two shots to give a report back. One shot, gone.
And well, you can try. You land a sound.
Second shot.
You fire one shot. You can't figure out where
ears
it came from.
Ears perk on the first shot. Can't figure it out though.
Nope. All of a sudden, he slides off the roof, down the ladder, or whatever
that's
he's
what
done,
I said.
And gone.
This was a well-orchestrated hit. This was designed to be a spectacle, an assassination.
And the person who shot Donald Trump, supposedly, they found his body. They blew his face off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? This guy, there was no body. He was gone.
He was gone.
The airport had the plane leave minutes later, and then the transponder got turned off. Even the Daily Mail reported on it. Another complete and total failure by the Food and Drug Administration, by the FBI.
Well, dude, look at the whole situation. I've talked to many people and found out later on that it was pretty much Mossad and two helicopters with this shooting at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. The machine gunners in the helicopter spraying everybody from a doggone. And you see the muzzle flash coming out of the helicopters. Two helicopters circling Mandalay Bay at the exact same time the shooting. They did not have any as far as coordinates where they were going. Just show up and then turn off.
And the window in the hotel room that he was in wasn't even broken out.
Wasn't blown out the time of the shooting.
Nope.
Later on, they blew it out and then they replaced it.
No, I mean,
whenever you don't find the shooter, whenever there's some just random patsy that doesn't make any sense about it, you have to start asking yourself the question, who is this pro-op that did this, and why did they do it? Again, if they wanted to shut him up, they could have shut him up.
But you know, anybody, if they had just hired a regular op guy, they'd have killed him, but Mossad's got too many ties.
No, they wanted somebody that had no ties to anything, in and out. And
I mean, he was within, he already knew Charlie Kirk was dead. He had to fire a second shot, and so he was looking through a scope. He saw him drop, and within what he did, slid off the roof, hopped in a car that was already running waiting for him. It was at the airport within 10 minutes.
By that time,
within 15 minutes, gone. Yeah. See, they can't shut the airport down that fast.
Well, they couldn't shut the universe down. Everybody's in shock. Everybody was trying to figure out. But I mean, he was.
And then they said, we caught the guy who did it.
Yeah.
Okay, now there's no reason to shut everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we caught another guy who did it.
Yeah.
Everybody settles down.
I pulled up on this thing on here. They were saying basically that they found another guy, but apparently both people have been released. They said they had nothing to
do. Well,
no,
but see what happens. If we caught the shooter immediately, okay, don't shut the airport down.
Everybody calms down.
Okay, well, that's not it. Oh, we caught the shooter again. Another guy. Okay, don't shut the airport down. Well, now, you know, an hour later, well, these aren't the shooters. Okay, shut the airport down. It's already gone. Plane's long gone. Plane's long gone. But you got, like, I'm going to say it again. I know I'm being repetitive, and forgive the redundancy here. You don't spool up a jet in 5 minutes.
No.
It doesn't happen like that. And, you know, and I guarantee you there was no flight plan filed. They could never have done that. They don't want you. They don't know. As long as you're flying under 18,000 feet, you don't have to file a flight plan.
Because here's the thing, when you're talking about a pre-flight check, here's the flip side of that. Say, for example, at this university, some massive donors there, alumni, super wealthy millionaire, Utah University, want to come see Charlie Kirk. Shooting happens. He freaks out. He gets in a car. He runs to the airport. The plane still wouldn't be ready to go off that fast if he was trying to exfil out that quick. They'd still be trying to do pre-flight.
You can't do it.
Not 10 minutes.
You know, I mean, I've had a friend of mine one time. He flew me back down here, actually, from St. Louis in a private jet. I mean, it was great. And I remember he couldn't take off. He got stuck at the airport for 45 minutes because he couldn't get flight clearance.
Really?
Just to fly to Miami. That was dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He got stuck here. He calls me up. He says, "What's going on? I can't get clearance out of here." And I said, "Well, you just have to wait a minute." I said, "They should have filed for that before they landed."
Yeah.
And, you know, and so when these small airports like this, when they have to drive, but you don't have to have a flight plan filed if you're not going to fly IFR. Yeah. That means instrument flight rules. If you're flying VFR, visual flight rules, as long as you stay under 18,000 feet, you don't have to file a flight plan. You hop in the plane and you go. And you tell the airport, "I'm going south, I'm going north, I'm heading to this city or that city." And they give you clearance to leave the airport airspace. That's all you do. And now you fly for 30 minutes because they got back to the airport in an hour. So a 30-minute flight, so now they don't know if you turn left, right, south, north, east. They have no idea because the transponder got turned off.
He's gone. Whoever did this is long gone. Now, they might try to pull some retard out of an insane asylum and throw him in a cell and say, "Oh, we found the shooter." But this was done entirely too smooth. It was too clean.
And the best agency in the world for unbelievably smooth operations, there's only one.
Yeah.
It's Mossad. They're the best.
But
because they have no moral recourse. They don't care. It's sad. The whole thing's sad.
It's sad. But
so again, our deepest condolences to the family of Charlie Kirk. And, you know, I remember James Traficant when they were interviewing him, and he was on with the other guy from Fox. It'll come to me in a second. And he basically, Sean Hannity, and you can watch him on YouTube, and he goes, "Everybody knows that Israel runs Congress. They control both houses. They control everything." And then Sean Hannity says, "You sound like an anti-Semite." He goes, "No, I'm not being an anti-Semite. I'm just telling you the truth." And so when you understand all of this stuff, and Benjamin Netanyahu basically comes out with a press release minutes after this happens about what a great friend Charlie Kirk is. I mean,
that was almost too fast.
Well, no, the problem with it is that, you know, that was a prepared statement. And the sad part about it is that it was almost immediately. It was like real time. It was literally minutes after the shooting. Well, how in the world did the Jewish Telegraph Agency and basically the Jewish people in Israel know this happened? How do you know what happens in Italy right now? I mean, that's something outside the world. We don't know about it until the next day.
That's true.
But suddenly they know about it in minutes, real time?
It already has a statement.
Already has a statement prepared? Yeah. And then they write this long thing about what a supporter of Israel he was, and he was not. He had been at one time, but he wasn't any longer. So he had become a problem. Now he had Candace Owens on the show.
We changed direction. And, you know, I mean, and then you got this entire week now, they've completely evacuated all of North Gaza now. They've done a full ground push in. Not even airstrikes, and we're a full ground push. That came up
house
two
to
days
house.
Ago. House to house. Full ground push. And I mean, and they just did an airstrike on Qatar, another airstrike on Syria, and all of a sudden it's like,
Charlie Kirk's dead.
Yep.
Because he was going at all these universities, this big tour that he had, and what they did, they have tickets to go in. No metal detectors. Of course, it wouldn't make any difference 200 yards away.
Yeah.
No, they're gonna get it on that building. They said they were letting people in without any tickets. They didn't care because he didn't care. He just wanted to cover the cost of his meeting there. And the problem is they should have had plexiglass in front of him. What would it take to stop a 308? 3 inches of plexiglass?
Yeah, that would be plenty. I think the problem is, though, I don't think they expected it to be that big of a threat. I guarantee they probably had security sweeps there.
There were no metal detectors anywhere.
He's pro-Second Amendment.
You can't even go to Disney Village without going to a metal detector.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about this, though, that was, and then they noticed when they shot him, it was specifically time when he was discussing gun control and transgenderism.
Yep. Yeah. Remember, their God is a snake.
Right when he was discussing it. And they timed everything. They wanted it to be a national spectacle that everybody saw as an example.
And somebody stood up in the crowd and got on their chair, and they were waving backwards like this. I saw the pictures this morning. And people said, who is this guy? Why is he doing this? Was he signaling?
Could have been. It could have been related. I haven't seen it.
I don't know. Something here is amiss. It really, really, really is. Okay, we got to change topics.
Yeah.
Pregnant women are turning to cannabis and the pot to ease pain and anxiety.
It's not good for the baby.
Wow. Research about the effect on a fetus is sparse. Pot has become a more potent. Pregnancy was complicated at time for this girl, and now she decided to get on her pot. I'm going to say this to you. Pot really affects you because it really runs estrogen levels up when you smoke it. And if you have a child in you and you're pregnant and you're using marijuana, you're going to elevate your own insulin, I'm a little bit shocked. Your own estrogen levels, which reduce testosterone levels. And if you have a little boy in there, you're not going to be able to develop the proper secondary sex characteristics for the child. I'm just telling you that. And you're probably going to shift me from a left brain dominated hemisphere into a right brain dominated hemisphere for a beta male. And he's probably going to end up being gay or transgender. And you see all this all the time. And I cannot believe that these people allow themselves to take these drugs, not having any idea what it's doing for that child. The same thing with these women. You see them in bars drinking when they're pregnant, Austin.
Oh,
it's mind-boggling to me.
Fetal alcohol syndrome is horrific. I've had a whole study on that.
It's horrible.
Okay.
And by the way, a single exercise session may slow cancer cell growth, new study shows. What? A single exercise session? Exercising muscles pump out substances that can suppress cancer growth of breast cancer cells, according to a new study. The study published last month involved 32 women who survived breast cancer. After a single session of interval training or weightlifting, their blood contained higher levels of certain molecules, and those factors helped put the brakes on laboratory-grown breast cancer cells. Our work shows that exercise can directly influence cancer biology, suppressing tumor growth through powerful molecular signals, says Robert Newton, the Deputy Director of Exercise and Medical Research. His group's experiment adds to mounting evidence that exercise upends the risk of not only developing but also surviving cancer. Past research indicates that exercise helps some cancer survivors and avoid recurrence of disease. The new study offers an explanation of how showing the cancer changes the inner workings of our muscles and cells, although more study is still needed. The study also offers clues about the specific types of exercise that must be the most effective against malignancies. Now, I'm going to stop here for 1 second. One of the things about exercise, which does amazing, is to increase oxygen levels to the body.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cancer is an anaerobic disease. It cannot function in the presence of oxygen. That's one of the reasons that a lot of the research seems to indicate that taking a high dosage of intravenous vitamin C, which converts into hydrogen peroxide, which is loaded with oxygen, into the bloodstream, kills cancer cells. So this study, I believe, is pretty accurate because of the fact that you're going to reduce the amount of, you know, anaerobic activity in the body by increasing the amount of aerobic activity with the amount of oxygen going up. But I would also suggest that the person, if they were trying to reduce the risks of different types of diseases like this, that they would come in and use black seed oil, D3K2, and get their D3 levels tested on a regular basis, at least 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C on a daily basis, and at least 250,000 milligrams of vitamin C intravenously a week. Very, very important. But the black seed oil and the turmeric is also very important. It's like throwing a wet blanket on these types of cells. So when I see a study like this, it gives me some hope that people are actually going out and saying, hey, wait a minute, there's something else going on here. And so, again, you have to have oxygen. And they're saying that all these other types of chemicals are being produced by the cells and agents that help to reduce the risk of the cancer growth. And this is what exercise works best. These studies, include patients who survive cancer, different cell physiology, and it says basically there's different types of studies that were being done. It says the researchers drew blood from everyone, then divided half the women to try high-intensity interval training in which they ran, rode, or rode at their choice at a hard pace on gym machines for 30 seconds, rested for 30 seconds, and repeated that sequence a total of 7 times with warm-up and cool-down. The session lasted for 45 minutes, and each woman's overall effort fell to her at least 7 or 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. In other words, they're working out very, very, very hard, which is going to massively increase the concentrations of certain, they call them mitokines, especially the IL-6 protein that affects immune responses to inflammation. And it's going to also massively increase oxygenation. And it will also, when you train like that, increase what's called collateral circulation.
Yes.
You build other blood vessels. Your body will actually build other blood vessels to that same area in the event that one of them gets plugged up with proper collateral circulation and proper exercise. That's why when we train, we do circuit training, you know, and I taught you to do that many years ago. In other words, if you have three exercise machines, you do one exercise, the next exercise, the next exercise with no rest.
Superset.
Superset is what it's called, what we used to call it.
I don't know what they call it now.
I think they call it interval training or whatever they call it now. But supersetting is the best way to maximize muscle growth and to get oxygen.
Superset. Everybody tries to make it this extravagant thing. It's HIT, high interval training. You know, I'm like, dude, superset. Just do superset.
Well, in other words, it's one set that's super long.
Super long. Yes, repeatedly. Well, this is a positive note now. This is something that came out yesterday. Obviously, it was, you know, overlapped by a significant horrific event that happened, but the MAHA, the Make America Healthy Again, commission report got released by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I don't know if you saw any of this yet. This is a big deal. So the MAHA commission released yesterday sets the stage for dozens of initiatives aimed at improving the health of American children. The five top things about it says one of the first ones, because Robert F. Kennedy Jr. goes into detail here. He says 38% of teens are now diabetic or pre-diabetic.
How many?
38%. Right here. That you know how bad that is, guys? That's horrible.
That means 38 out of 100 kids.
That's crazy. 80% of young people cannot meet the physical qualifications for military service now. 80%. You know how pathetic that is? As a generation, I am glad I'm not part of that one. I mean, that's just embarrassing. It's because these kids don't want to go outside. They don't want to do anything. They just sit around and eat junk all day.
I remember about you were about 8 years old, so about 30 years ago. I was about 40, I guess. And we went to that fair, remember?
And the Marine Corps recruiter.
I'm here. I'm 40 years old, and you were there with me, and they had these Marine Corps posters.
Yes.
And I had to do 15 pull-ups, 40 years of age, to get a poster for Austin.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I can do that.
Yeah.
And I did it.
You did.
And boy, was I sore the next day.
I remember that.
So I'm 40 years old with 15 pull-ups.
I was like, yeah, Dad, give me a poster. You're like, all right, send it. No warm-up, nothing. Just jumped to grab the bar, dead hang. Like, all right.
I think I did pull my boots off because I didn't want the extra weight.
Well, yeah, shave off that 2 or 3 extra pounds.
Oh, gosh. But I tell you, but I was going, the last one, I got a little bit of swing to it, and the guy was saying, you're swinging. And then I kicked him by accident.
Yeah, he did.
I almost did a crotch shot on him. I almost kicked him in the, you know, where. But I got the poster still in the wall.
Yeah, I still got the poster. One of the first things on here says delivering nutritious food. 128 strategies listed in the document aimed to improve both the quality of food delivered to American tables and eating choices for consumers. They said Food and Drug Administration will continue the policy of limiting or prohibiting the use of petroleum-based food dyes. That's a big deal. And they said, according to other aspects, they include Tyson Foods, PepsiCo, Smucker's, General Mills, Nestle, and others. And they're also going to be addressing high fructose corn syrup as well. The second part on here says research-informed policy decisions. Says, why are autism rates going up so quickly? What can we do about it? What is the answer for type 1 diabetes? These questions must be answered with real science. Subjects to be investigated, including the cause of autism, water and air contaminants, exposure to microplastics, synthetics, vaccine injuries, and therapeutic harms and benefits of current diagnostic and prescription trends. New vaccine framework. This is an interesting one. The White House now is going to create a new vaccine framework with the aim of ensuring the country has the best childhood schedule. Now, we're going to see where this is going to go, if they're just going to put a new pretty bow on it and put the same crap out. I don't know. It says the framework will address vaccine injuries, modernize American vaccines with transparent scientific research, remove conflict of interest and misaligned incentives, and ensure scientific and medical freedom. Kennedy has drawn sharp criticism for his vaccine initiatives here. So I don't know if that means they're actually going to start forcing these pharmaceutical companies to produce clean vaccines.
What it means is nothing. They're going to change the shot schedules, what they just said. In other words, they're not going to require as many shots as often. They're going to move
around.
Yeah, they're playing a shell game.
Which the, one's
the,
under which
the
one's
marble's
here?
Still under the shell. He's going to move it around so he can't find it.
That's all they're doing here.
Sure. You know, where's the address? Where did he address the MMR shot here, Austin? You see it?
No, it hasn't.
Oh, I'm looking. Do you guys see? I'm looking for.
I'm trying to be positive today, dude.
Oh, God. One of those days.
Trying to make something positive.
At least they talked about Tylenol, but that's a small percentage.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal, though, too. At least something. I mean, gosh, I'll take anything right now. No. How sad is that? No. Food coloring's out. High fructose corn syrup's getting addressed. Golly, how sad has it become?
Well, they talked to Elon Musk yesterday. He said he had been in Washington since May. And he said that they can't be fixed. He said it's broken. But he said special interest. He said that there's no fixing it.
It was ironic how quickly he got kicked out as soon as he started talking about Fort Knox.
By the way, the billionaire oligarchs and corporations are profiting from ISIS deportation machine.
I didn't get to finish my five.
We're going back to it right now. That was a segue to break the ice.
Well, this one, back to this now. As excited as I was, I didn't even get down to the bottom of this one. No action on pesticides.
Why not? Why do we want to? Well, they can't. You know why? The farm lobby.
Well, on top of that, though, here's the problem we've found ourselves in with these pesticides and these herbicides is there's no getting away from them now.
Can't feed the population.
It's a self-perpetuating curse because now you start cutting back significantly on glyphosate, you're going to have super weeds that start growing.
And the soil is so contaminated with glyphosate.
Yeah. So trying to get rid of herbicides and get rid of pesticides now.
It's not possible.
It's really, truly not possible. As much as I hate them.
You can't feed the population anymore.
No. And the population's too reliant on processed foods now and all this food that is basically on all the crops that are reliant on pesticides and herbicides. It says the report states the EPA, partnering with the food and agriculture stakeholders, will work to ensure the public has awareness and confidence, pesticide robust review procedures, and how it relates to limiting of risk for users, meaning they're doing absolutely nothing.
That's why I said this means nothing. You know, I mean, because when you start going and doing specific things, you set a target on yourself, and like Charlie Kirk did.
Gosh.
And you basically learn the hard way, if you ever make it through it alive, that you're not supposed to do that. Certain things you don't touch. You don't touch the sacred cow.
Well, and that's what I said earlier. This was designed to be a gigantic, gigantic warning to everybody. That's what it was. If they didn't want him to be in politics, they didn't want him to talk. I mean,
he's very articulate.
Kind of a car accident. You know, yeah. I mean, they could have set something up, made it look like an act. They didn't want it to be an accident. They wanted it to be a direct action shot. Somebody engaged him like that. He died, and they're gone. And nobody knows who did it, allegedly.
Oh, wait. Now, by the way, any speculation that we've had as far as who's done it is purely First Amendment right. It's pure speculation.
Pure speculation. Okay. Anyways, back to your story.
Today's been one of those days. There's a certain amount of stuff that you can deal with every day, and sometimes it just overwhelms everybody.
But yesterday was texting one of those. Called me last night.
My phone blew up. A primer on the billionaire barons and the corporate profiteers enable ISIS deportation apparatus. Earlier this year, now listen and follow the money. The U.S. Congress approved. Remember, we brought these people in legally.
Yeah.
They were invited in with Krispy Kreme donut signs, free cell phones, and free houses.
Well, they weren't legally brought in.
Well, they were brought in by our federal government.
Yeah.
Told
to come in.
Up to 20 million.
Gates open.
Yeah.
Come on in. Hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
Make yourself home.
And so you have this person in the government say, come on in. This person in the government say, this is not legal. And so now they're here. Early this year, well, of course, they made billions of dollars trafficking humans and children.
Still do.
Bringing them into the United States and moving them all around the world. They're still making that money right now.
Yep.
And so now they're figuring out a way to get rid of them and make billions more. You got to love the way these guys think. Not
feed both sides of the war.
Earlier this year, the U.S. Congress approved a massive increase in funding for immigration and customs enforcement. $45 billion for immigrant detention. $30 billion for recruitment and training. Bonus pay and additional facilities and vehicle. ICE's budget for the 2025 fiscal year will be up around $28 billion, up from $8 billion, making it the highest funded law enforcement agency in the federal government, according to the New York Times. Corporations and billionaires across the U.S. have long profited from materially enabling ISIS deportation apparatus. Now, with escalating attacks on immigrant workers and families and ramped up ICE funding, corporations and oligarchs are set to cash in even more from lucrative contracts to supply ISIS deportation industrial complex, is what they're calling it now. Wow. With everything from surveillance tech and airline transportation to cloud services and bank financing, ICE and its Department of Homeland Security parent agency contracts and subcontracts with hundreds of companies. Many of these are obscure and niche businesses, but a good number of these ICE contractors are also name brand consumer facing corporations led by prominent executives and billionaires and powerful oligarchs. In the post, we name some of these corporate ICE profiteers and deportation barons, from Peter Thiel's Plantar to Jeff Bezos' Amazon, from GEO Group to Avelo Airlines, from the Bank of America to AT&T, that everyone should know about. We also provide resources and links for further research into other ICE profiteers, including those with presence in your own locale. Now, they go into detail on this. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it because it's too much. But the reality is this. Here we are, a group of people now are being given billions and billions of dollars in order to deport the people that we brought in here. I mean, unbelievable.
They made billions and billions of dollars off of importing them here.
You know, the first time I realized that this happens, okay, is when Ross Perot, you know, I liked Ross Perot. I really did back in the 90s. And he basically ran as a third-party ticket. Right, gave Bill Clinton the election because he did all that. But the reality is Ross Perot was the first billionaire that I'd ever heard about, Austin, that was a billionaire because of government contracts.
Wow.
Yeah. And so then I began to realize that when they get these lucrative contracts from the federal government, the sky's the limit as far as billing. They can do pretty much what they wanted to do. And then you see, look at Elon Musk. As much as he's been in the news, he became almost a trillionaire now. Because of government contracts and subsidies to Tesla for their cars that nobody wants after they've had them for 5 years, because you can't keep running very easily. You always in the shop. And then after 10 years, you can forget it. Batteries are done.
But then here's the problem we're running into. They're running out of places to store all the vehicles that are dead because you can't. Trying to recycle those lithium batteries is an absolute mess.
So toxic.
I mean, and then if you really want to get a kick out of it, just Google lithium strip mines in South America.
Oh my gosh, what they do is unbelievable.
I mean, it makes everything around it completely uninhabitable.
Oh yeah,
forever. It's like bad as Chernobyl. They said once you do these lithium strip mines, they have these dry lakes. Once you try to shut those down later on, there's nothing even in the vicinity that can live around it. Plants don't even live around it. Nothing.
No, we have the same thing with the sludge ponds here with phosphate.
Yeah.
In Polk County.
Yeah,
there's giant sludge ponds from the extraction of phosphate. Fertilizer that we have here that have huge dams built around them here in Central Florida. Yep. And if they ever break, which they've done that before, they pollute everything.
Everything.
And it takes them years and years. If they ever dry out, they're like a mud pit.
And the lithium strip mines are 100 times worse than that.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that this happens. That's why I said that whole industry, everybody wanted to talk about, we're doing this EV. I said, well, what's the sustainable development with it long term? 2030, 2040, 2050. How do you keep this going long term? You keep strip mining the entire world of lithium so you can make a battery for a car that's going to be dead in 10 years that you can't recycle? What's the sustainability with that from the green energy that they
the green energy must be non-pollutive.
Right.
It's like the most polluting stuff you have.
Most polluted everything, and it still runs on rubber tires.
I mean, they basically burn up a ship and end up getting sunk in the middle of the ocean because of this few years ago.
You plug it into a charging station that's powered to the power grid that's burning coal.
My favorite is when you go to the Amazon warehouses, they've got their cars plugged into a diesel generator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you guys want to get a laugh for a day, you guys want to have a little bit of laughter of a day, go drive by an Amazon warehouse. There's one right here. They have some of the biggest, they're really nice, really gigantic commercial generators. They're all diesel powered. Gigantic ones. And they're backups. And a lot of them aren't even backups. They'll use them to plug in all their electric Amazon trucks.
Because when they crank those suckers up, it's cheaper to run those things than it is to buy off the grid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way cheaper. Mm-hmm. So you can run those generators. You know, they're probably burning, 5-10 gallons an hour maybe on those big industrial
boys,
ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, those industrial ones. But they're going to charge you 15 trucks. You plug all those into the power station right there. Oh, your Tico meter.
Well, and plus, remember, if you're going to plug them into the power meter, you're going to have a power station and a substation put right there with
gigantic
your plant.
Substation.
And you're going to spend millions of dollars on that. And you got to maintain it. And you got to pay the utilities out of it. Unbelievable. Oh, by the way, how conservatives learn to love the police state.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Okay. Led by many congressional leaders, have recently endorsed armed occupations of American cities. The most prominent display of this attitude can be seen in Washington, D.C., where deployed law enforcement along with the National Guard to combat non-existent crime wave. But there's not a crime wave there, but there's a lot of crime. For a few weeks now, Americans have watched as federal agents have been tasked with handling mopped up accidents, drunk men throwing sandwiches, and trash cleanup. Okay. The action in Washington follows the deployment of federal assets in Los Angeles, which is led by the mayor, Karen Bass, a black woman. Other cities have been threatened with the occupation by Trump, including Chicago, Baltimore, and most recently New Orleans. All of the cities vote Democratic, have large minority populations, and are led by black mayors. But just a few years ago, conservative Republicans were busy accusing Democrats of wanting a police state. The right spent nearly a decade accusing former Bill Clinton of plotting to allow the United Nations-backed agents of the New World Order to do things like construct FEMA camps and conduct armed takeovers of American cities. That's true, by the way.
Yeah.
It did do that. By the time former President Barack Obama took office in 2009, the right whipped itself into the frenzy over the Jade Helm conspiracy. True. Under Jade Helm, Obama was reportedly massing army and military forces to take over red state cities and towns. None of it was true, as Jade Helm was an innocuous military exercise. The fear-mongering over the impending police state did not stop when former President Joe Biden took office in 2020-21. In 2024, while serving as governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem said there would be a war on our hands if Biden used the National Guard to patrol the U.S.-Mexican border. Now that Noem is serving as Trump's Homeland Security Secretary, she backs using the Guard to invade states like California. This is true. Okay, remember, Mancow told me this one time. Now, listen to me for a second. Mancow Mueller, at one time, he was as big as Howard Stern's was, if not bigger, on the radio. He was in like 400 stations nationwide, all major markets. And Mancow said, you can criticize all you want the left, and you can criticize all you want the right. You have to be polarizing. In other words, you could say how horrible these people are, or how great these people are, how great the Republicans are, how bad the Republicans are, how great the Democrats are, how bad the Republicans are. But what you can't do, Austin, is go down the middle.
Nope.
And criticize both sides.
And that's what Charlie started
doing. He started talking about Israel. He supported Israel, but they're doing this. All of a sudden, it was like, oh, well, we're supporting them, but they're
doing
this.
You're the true show genius. You can look at both sides and argue both sides.
Yeah.
You can't. You cannot. You have to go to one side or the other is what they want. They do not want you.
You've got to be polarizing. I told you that time I was on with that one talk show host who was huge. He's like number one, nine market in the country.
Yeah.
And I started talking about 9/11 and Building 7. Bam! I was off. I was off.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the heck just happened? And that happened to me. It's happened to me many times because they don't want you polarizing in both directions. In other words, they don't want you having critical thought.
Exactly.
They don't want you thinking. They want you just smart enough, like, you know, we've heard before with George Carlin, to run the machines in the factory, shut up, pay your tax dollars, make them money, and do what you're told to do. But you can't question. Remember I told you yesterday, the Germans, not the Jews, the Germans who basically were in my aunt's neighborhood who questioned Hitler back in the 30s and 40s, their houses were bulldozed and they disappeared. You can't question it. You got to stay. You have to do right or left. You got to say, I'm going to be with you. And then what did George Bush, how did he so eloquently phrase it? You're either for us or you're for the terrorists.
You're with us or the terrorists.
Remember that?
Yeah. He said, you're with us or the terrorists? Us, terrorists. Which one? Well, I don't want to be a terrorist. Gosh. But I don't support this. But I'm not a terrorist. Ah, what do I do? That's the point. That's what they want. They want you to go to one side or the other. That's what they constantly want you to do.
So anyhow, I'm going to let you guys read this article, but it's good. I mean, you know, and again, it's more of a liberal bias, but it does make some sense here. Because what do they do? George Bush is going to do this. Bill Clinton's going to do this. Barack Obama. In the meantime, the guy behind the curtains, okay?
The Wizard of Oz.
The monkey in the cage, okay? Throwing poop. Whether you want him to be our monkey or not monkey, or you're not involved with this circus show, he's our flying monkey here. That's the guy behind the curtain because he's controlling both sides of the narrative. And that flying monkey would be Lucifer. Just thought I'd mention that to you in case you need to have the cliff notes on this if you just started listening to the show. We have a group of people that are so evil and they listen to the side of Lucifer and they've taken his side. It started really in earnest in 1666 with Sabbatai Zevi. He ended up becoming a Muslim and converting to become a Muslim. Then he turned around 100 years later, and Jacob Frank brought in the Rothschild banking cartel into this movement of making everything evil all of the time. And that's how we ended up here from 400 years ago to this level of depravity. But remember the Bible said what Jesus said? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. In the days of Noah, every thought of every man was evil all the time. That's where they're taking us back to, where you could have a man with his wife and small children sitting at a rally and have him assassinated in front of everybody, just to give everybody an exclamation point. Say, here's what happens to you when you run your mouth.
Jeez.
And that's the thing that I want you guys to understand. When you support our show by getting your supplements from us, and notice we haven't pushed any supplements today because it's not really a day to do that. It really isn't, okay? But when you support us and you support the Head and Ted Nosper, even if you're praying for us, it means the world to us, because what we do on this show and the way we broadcast and how we take both sides and look at both sides of the equation and say, hey, this isn't any good, this isn't good, what we do is extremely dangerous, just like what Charlie Kirk was doing was extremely dangerous. So if you'll pray for us and pray for our protection, I'd appreciate it. And when you support Health Masters, it means the world to us. We can put shows like this out.
Yes.
And what you need to do is just forward our shows to everybody you know. Everybody on your Facebook, everybody on your friends list, everybody. Everybody on your Instagram. Put us out on social media and say, hey, listen to these guys. They're telling you the truth. Period. If you'll do that for us, it makes all the difference in the world. Tell them they're on Rumble, they're on this, they're on here, they're on here, they're on. Thank you for helping us get the word out, because the people like us that are doing shows like this are less than 5% of all media. Charlie Kirk was very rare.
He was. And he was huge.
And so was Candace Owens.
Yeah.
And she better be careful. Okay? And so was that one guy who had the gym. What's his name?
Oh, Ian?
Oh, my gosh.
He's gotten huge, too, now.
He's gotten big, too.
They have been eviscerated because he's been calling out Israel for everything now.
Yeah.
I mean, and his half of his fan base turned on him after that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and not necessarily. But no, what they'll say is half your fan base turned because they control the algorithm.
That's true.
But you don't know who turned on you.
That's true. So
you'll say, I'm going to stop doing this. Half my fan base turned on you. You don't know that. That could be lies, too.
Turn the algorithm off. One last story I want to cover. I'm going to go into detail on it tomorrow. But this is a positive note to end on.
Good.
The FDA chief said there is no evidence supporting the hepatitis B vaccine at birth, period. They're pulling it off.
What?
First time ever somebody finally got their head out of their rear end and said, why are we doing this? He went into detail.
They're taking it off the shot schedule.
He said they're discussing it. He said they're going to figure out what they need to do with it. It needs to be removed. He said, I do not believe there is any evidence that it supports the hepatitis shot B given at birth. Goes on the detail here. He said, I predict they're going to try to change the birth dose of the hepatitis B so kids do not get it when they are born. He said the stated goal, he goes, where is it in here? It says 3 doses of the vaccine are in the CDC's childhood immunization schedule. 3. He goes, we're giving about 11 million doses of hepatitis B a year. Pretty much all of them are for kids who do not need it at all. Finally.
Y'all.
Positive note to end on.
The only reason they ever gave women hepatitis B at birth, the children, was in case the mother was a drug using IV
and that's
hepatitis
exactly what she
positive.
Says here. She goes, we hepatitis test every mom. By the time she delivers, we know her pretty well. She doesn't have any risk factors. She's not an IV drug user. She's in a monogamous, stable relationship. Nobody at home has hepatitis. Then why are we giving them a hepatitis B shot when they are born? Why? What is the point of this? So finally, somebody's asking the question, and this guy in the FDA chief, kudos to you. I don't know if I agree with everything he does, but my gosh, at least somebody finally addressed this.
And yet there will be people that will go nuts because of this.
Oh, no. Say, oh, my child needs to have access to it. Why? Are you a hepatitis B IV drug user? Like, what, do you really
drug-using prostitutes?
Yeah. Is that the answer? Yes, then sure. We got a hepatitis B shot for your baby because you're just druggy. But no purpose at all has ever been for that shot.
Here's a great article. Ties in Angel Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember how the earth was flooded before?
Yeah.
Noah?
Yeah.
It was flooded during. Before Noah, and that's what where the Angel Wars occurred with Lucifer's rebellion. We took a third of creation with him. One of the things that ended up, because he was the stronghold of his, was on earth. What God did, he flooded the entire planet for the first time. Just thought I'd mention that. We talk about it in detail in Angel Wars. That's why in Genesis it says that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters of the deep, and the earth was formless and void.
There's
nothing on it. All water. Just all white. You know, so all of a sudden, God came in and he separated the continents.
Yeah.
Here we go. Ready? Paper finds that Earth may have been terraformed by advanced extraterrestrials.
There you go.
Okay, well, they would call God an extraterrestrial. Okay? The idea of Earth being terraformed by advanced extraterrestrials is upon us now. It's one of the most longstanding questions of biology. How did this happen? Research on the topic abounds, but no one accepted answer. But now they're saying that our planet was basically terraformed by advanced extraterrestrials. In other words, God said, let the water be separated from the sea. And the sea was scooped up, the mountains were formed, and there's seashells on the tops of mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just thought I'd mention that. And so all of this stuff happened, and that's what Jesus did when he built the planet over again. Always remember that. He is the author, the finisher, the creator of everything, and through him, all things are held together. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Pray for Charlie Kirk's family. I promise they need it desperately
right now.
And pray for us, and I thank you for your support with Health Masters. You remember who Jesus is always. Also, when you
stay strong, stay healthy, my friends. Continue to push the truth out there as much as you can. Be praying for his family. Thank you for supporting the podcast. If you guys need anything, call us, email us. We're always here to help you guys out the best we can. Have a safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you tomorrow as always.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.